Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So let me begin with some perspective and a reminder that all that we are experiencing in 2020 and then this year is in a lot of ways very fleeting and temporal. From our trials to our successes, everything that we encounter in life really is fleeting. From world events to local crises that we face, they're here today and then they're gone tomorrow. And as we'll see tonight in God's word through the letter of 1 Peter, that is validated. But a little over 20 years ago, our culture was self-absorbed and fearful. How many of you remember 1999? How many of you were like, I don't remember 1999? Just raise your hands. A lot of you. Gosh, I'm old. That's frightening. Well, we are going to party tonight like I'm just kidding. But in 1999, there were some crazy things going on in our world. World leaders looked forward and projected chaos and turmoil and perhaps even an abrupt end to everything that we knew and depended upon. In fact, in the final 6 months of 1999, things hit a fever pitch because when the year 2000 hit, supposedly most of our computer systems were going to go down because of some strange coding error built into a lot of our systems back in the 70s. It was a short-sighted error, but this countdown to Y2K saw rushes in all the grocery stores on toilet paper, water, batteries, flashlights, canned food, and of course Twinkies, because Twinkies have a shelf life of like 100 years or something. And it was crazy. It was a crazy time to be living because we didn't know what was going to happen after the tick of the clock into the year 2000. Were things going to shut down or not? And over the past several weeks, I've been taking old VHS tapes and trying to convert them to DVD. And lo and behold, look what I found unopened in my VHS collection. Do y'all know what a VHS tape is? It's like a large cassette tape. You know what a VCR is? Okay, some of you. So this says, Practical Solutions for Home Preparedness for Y2K was sent out to all kinds of families free to prepare us so we could bunker in and be prepared for the coming chaos. And the bottom of it says, easy instructions for preparing your home and family for Y2K problems, such as food storage, water treatment, water storage, protection and security, heating, lights, health, safety, money, and then if we missed anything, it says, and more. And then the back of it, it says, the year 2000 is almost upon us, as are the countless challenges of the Y2K factor. Truth is, the size and scope of these Y2K problems are still unknown, but now is the time. This is all in red letters. Now is the time to start understanding, preparing for the potential hazards and catastrophe ahead. Whew. And the clock ticked 2000, and we all looked around like, oh, well, now what do we do with these 100 gallons of water that we all have? You know, it's like, it's crazy. And some of you might have like dads or grandfathers that still have supplies from Y2K. You're still trying to eat those baked beans that were stockpiled in your family basement. Well, interestingly enough, in 1999, things were mixed and mired in doomsday predictions, cultural tension, and just overall foolishness. And crazily enough, the first 6 weeks of 1999 were swallowed up in political turmoil as President Bill Clinton was going through impeachment trials. And it was in April of 1999 that the Columbine High School shooting shocked and dismayed the nation. And then later on that summer, the West Nile virus appeared and scared the willies out of everybody, because if mosquitoes carry the West Nile virus, folks like me that were from South Arkansas, we were in deep trouble. And I can remember the mosquito trucks driving through small towns in South Arkansas with these big barrels on the back, shooting clouds of insecticide out of them. Like, that was healthy. 1999 was a little bit crazy. Severe blizzards in the Midwest killed dozens. Osama bin Laden set his base of operations in Afghanistan that year. Oh, and just to kind of give you just even more crazy news, in 1999, MySpace and Napster debuted. Yeah, how about that? Some of you are like, what's Napster? Perspective. I remember 1999, and I missed the big party, but 1999 was full of chaos, turmoil, questioning, division, dissension, anger, fearfulness. How we need perspective. In 1859, in a speech before the Wisconsin State Agricultural Society, Abraham Lincoln, who was then a politician, said, quote, "It is said an Eastern monarch once charged his wise men to invent for him a sentence to be ever in view, and which would be true and appropriate in all times and in all situations. And so they presented him with these words, 'This too shall pass away.' How much it expresses, how chastening in the hour of pride, how consoling in the depths of affliction. This too shall pass." Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the words will be on the screen behind me, and you can follow along in your Bibles and devices. Peter writes and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I want to focus on Peter's comfort and perspective under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he wrote, because it's a reminder that what we encounter as hardship, and let's remind ourselves, even what we encounter as success and good things in life, they have a limited scope. They have a limited duration. This too shall pass. Peter writes to his listeners and he says, "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief and various trials." Later in the letter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the apostle tenderly counsels us in this way: "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you, as if something unusual were happening to you." Think about the apostle's words. Don't be surprised when hardship, inconvenience, trials, and suffering come, as something strange were happening to you. The implication and the expectation of the apostles, and of course of Jesus himself for all of his followers, that we would trust him in the midst of our trials, and according to 1 Peter chapter 1, that we would be refined by these trials. It says that our character would be proven, and it's more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire. And when we undergo trial and testing and we depend upon Jesus through those times of hardship, it results in praise and honor and glory to Jesus, and our faith also is built up. In addition to that, those who watch us respond in times of hardship and confusion and suffering see something very, very different about the people who follow Jesus. They see an uncommon strength, and they see a depth of character that they don't see in those in the world. And so here we are in 2020, and you've seen the memes, and you've seen the tweets and the Facebook posts and everything else. 2020, we just want it to be done with. We want it to be over with. But could it be that God is doing something in my life and in your life through 2020? Could it be that God has been in the process of answering some significant prayers of his church in this year? Prayers for salvation, prayers for growth, prayers for refining, prayers that God would show us himself in amazing ways. Could it be that whether it was COVID or turmoil or crisis or ethnic tension, could it be that all that we're encountering in 2020 caught us off guard because we are flabby in our faith? Because we're too comfortable in our church attendance and we're too familiar with our scriptures? Could it be that God is inviting us back into an intimate, dependent, desperate relationship with him, to trust him through times of hardship and turmoil and to proclaim our faith to those who are fearful and stressed and at their wits' end? Could it be that we're out of faith shape? It's time for us to gear up, to suit up, to shape up, because we must remember whose we are and where we are as the people of God. The Apostle Paul would write very similarly to the Apostle Peter in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. The Apostle Paul says, "Our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory." Now, that's a lot of descriptions for a weight of glory. An absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. That's what our momentary light afflictions are producing in us and through us. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, "For a short time." And here the Apostle Paul will echo that, saying it's a short time, it's a momentary time. We must have perspective as the people of God. There is a temporary nature to all of our successes and our celebrations. We think about Super Bowls and we think about college football or basketball championships, and we think about sports moments, and we think about academic achievements and job moments, and we think about all that, and we reach those moments of ultimate success and celebration. And in just a few short weeks, if you're an athlete, practice begins for the next season. And it doesn't matter who won last year. It matters how you'll be this year. And the plaques on your wall fade and mean nothing. I have a plaque on the wall of my office. I went to Pulaski Academy. It was a school in Little Rock. My mom was a teacher. It was K through 12. And I graduated valedictorian from Pulaski Academy in Little Rock, Arkansas. And none of you cares. My graduating class had 53 people in it. It means I beat out 52 people. And you're like, yep, It was a big deal
several years ago.
But all of our achievements, all of our accomplishments, the moment after they fade, they're temporal. It's a short time. And not just talking about successes and accomplishments, but if we think about hardships and trial and suffering, setbacks, heartache, turmoil, conflict, the Apostle Paul tells it's a momentary light affliction. But the reality of it is in these momentary light afflictions, God is doing something in me. And God is doing something in you if you'll let Him. Paul says he's producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. Peter said in chapter 1 that we suffer grief in various trials so that the proven character of your faith, which is more valuable than gold. Get that? Your faith being proved, your faith being anchored, your faith being revealed to a watching world in times of hardship, your proven faith is more valuable than gold. And so that your proven character will result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then Peter concludes that thought with, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We're being refined as you put metal into a fire and you burn off the dross and it comes out pure metal. That's what hardships do to us. It burns out the impurities. It burns out the insincerities in our life. And so having biblical perspective means that we must understand that this is for a short time. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. But too often, don't we walk by sight and not by faith? Whether we're looking at the good things in our life and being too enamored by them, maybe even to the point of idolizing good things, or we look at the bad things and the hard things in our life, and we get discouraged and despondent and frustrated and angry by them. When we focus on the stuff around us, it impacts our attitudes, our decisions, our investments, our relationships, and perhaps we should remember the line from the Eastern Monarch, according to Abraham Lincoln, that this too shall pass. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, the Apostle Peter would continue to ram this principle home. He says, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. It's just a little while. It's just a short time. This too shall pass. I think this verse is immensely encouraging and it's profound when we realize what context it has. You see, right before Peter wrote these words, he wrote some words about spiritual warfare. So listen to the words that lead into his counsel about this will just last for a little while. In 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, he says, be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone that he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. We are not unique. The devil is after all of us who call upon the name of Jesus. He loves to discourage, to divide, to destroy, to distract. He loves to tear down what God has built up. And yet we are counseled as the people of God to stand firm in our faith, to resist Him, to trust in God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And Peter was a great person to share these truths, was he not? It's phenomenal that these came through the pen of Peter because of his own foibles. He was the guy who confronted Jesus and said, oh no, Jesus, you're wrong about this. He was the guy who denied Jesus. He was the guy who equivocated on grace with Gentiles and had to be rebuked by Paul. And yet Peter remembered Jesus' promises for him. In Luke 22, Jesus had told him, before Peter denied him, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So what do we do in the meantime when this has not passed? When we're right in the middle of struggle and turmoil and confusion and heartache, what do we do? We're counseled by Peter through his letter and through the rest of the New Testament that we love, that we encourage, that we strengthen others. Jesus said to Peter, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So after you've stumbled and after you've fallen and after you've been renewed in your faith, turn around and help those around you. We lean hard on Jesus. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China in the 1800s, and he underwent so much suffering. If you ever have an opportunity to read his autobiography, I want to encourage you to read about Hudson Taylor. He's an intense, dramatic, deeply joyful and loving missionary. But this is what he said, because his journals are full of comments like this. But in one entry he said, God, even my God, was a living, bright reality, and all I had to do for him was joyful service. Now, Taylor wrote that in a time of intense physical agony and suffering. But he writes that God, even my God, was a living, bright reality, and all I had to do was joyful service. What transforms a person's perspective such that in the middle of hardship, confusion, turmoil, and physical illness, that he can see God as a living, bright reality? Because I want that for my life. I want others to look at me and say, God is a living, bright reality in Jeff's life, in times of success and in times of failure. God is a living, bright reality in his life. Don't you want that in your life as well? Don't you want people to be able to look at your life even when you are struggling and see a reflection of the joy and the love of King Jesus in your life as you endure, sometimes with gritted teeth, through times of hardship, dependent upon God's strength? When times are good and when times are bad, I want to remember this too shall pass. I can't depend on successes from yesterday, and I cannot be defeated by suffering and trials today, because according to the Word of God, I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. Jesus has promised us that even though things may seem to be slow and to be drawn out, that our suffering only lasts a little while. And take heed, our successes only last a little while. It is just a short time. It's a little while. We must learn to wait. I talked to our daughter, Adeline, this past week, and she had led a Bible study, and she was telling me some of the things that she had said, and she was reading me part of it, and I said, whoa, read that to me again, because it's humbling and it's profound when your daughter speaks words to you that you go, okay, I think those are probably from God to me more than anything else. Because part of learning to have perspective is learning to wait on God. In the meantime, learning to wait on Him. When times are good, when times are bad, learning to wait. And this is what she wrote about waiting. Waiting on the Lord is not a passive activity. it means to wait on the Lord as a waiter would wait on a table. It means to be totally attentive to the Lord, focused on His every move and responsive to His every desire. At times, it may mean inactivity, but even that is an active inactivity, where we stand before the Lord, totally focused on Him, waiting for what He wants next. Perspective means that we trust in Jesus. We give Him credit in our times of successes, and we cling to Him desperately in times of confusion and hardship. North Star, it is important for us to be witnesses to the New River Valley, to be people of hope, encouragement, and reflections of Jesus Christ to everybody that we encounter. It is so important in 2020 for us individually to turn our attention to intimacy with Jesus. I tell our staff all the time, consistently in staff meetings, that North Star is only as strong as its leaders are pursuing intimacy with Jesus. You have that expectation upon us. You should. That we seek to spend time in God's Word daily, that we present ourselves before the Lord, that we pray, that we're sensitive, that we seek humility before God, that we listen well to Him. But you know what? Ministers are no different than members. We are all part of the body, and so we have that expectation on members of North Star as well. On every person who calls upon the name of Jesus, we have an expectation that you are seeking Him in intimacy and that you're enjoying Him. And when you seek Him in intimacy and He reveals Himself to you in power, there's nothing more special and more precious. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. So Amplified Bible is fantastic. It'll take you twice as long to read because it sprinkles in every possible nuance of every phrase. But just bear with me as I read verses 9 through 13. It says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, detest all ungodliness, do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor, never lagging behind in diligence. Aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ. Steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength, contributing to the needs of God's people and pursuing the practice of hospitality. I don't know what phrases jumped out at you, but one of the phrases that jumped out at me is this phrase, aglow in the Spirit, because that's what I want to be my life to be characterized by. I want to have perspective. I don't want to get unnerved by current events and by bad news, and I don't want to get a big head because of successes or accomplishments. I just want to be the person that God has made me to be. The little Star Trek-loving, coffee-drinking, fantasy football-playing Jeff, with all of his quirks, I just want to be the person God made me to be. I hope that's your desire as well, not to be me, because that would be sad, but to be you, to be the person in all of your quirks that God has made you to be, and to trust Him in these strange times.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.